The Liberal Party won't be represented at next month's Jobs Summit, but the Coalition's junior partner, the Nationals, will, after their leader, David Littleproud, accepted an invite. The Nationals will use the summit to advocate for a regional visa to attract skilled migrants in areas beyond agriculture. In a speech to the party faithful in Canberra at the weekend, the Nationals leader, David Littleproud, said his party must overcome emerging threats if it wants to succeed in future federal elections. David Littleproud is the leader of the Nationals and our guest. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
The Nationals managed to hold on to all your seats at the last election, but there were swings to independents in some seats. Are they an emerging threat that you're worried about?
Well, I think we've got to be honest. The cohort that left us was women, and we left them in a position where they didn't feel as though they were comfortable to vote for us. We have to own up to that. We have to face up to that. We have to listen. We have to understand, and we have to rebuild that trust. And that's what I'm committed to do in making sure that we can rebuild that trust with women in the electorate, and particularly in regional Australia. And that's my role, and that's where we're solely focused on, and that's the commitment I gave our party over the weekend, that myself and Perrin Davey will continue to work to rebuild that trust. And that's being out on the road and listening at a grassroots level, understanding those issues, whether it's the availability of childcare, whether it's the emergency housing for those women that find themselves separated. And it's the real issues that will shift the dial that'll face up to their challenges, their aspirations for them, their children. Okay. And I think that's important we do.
You must have dug into what the research was telling you about from women. What was it about your policies that they were unhappy with?
Look, I think we've got to be honest, there was a disconnect that they felt from a number of issues, not just, I think, solely from the National Party, but the Coalition. And I can't do my bit unless I fix the Nationals piece. And I think the Brittany Higgins affair and many of those just meant that women felt as though we weren't taking it seriously. We weren't looking at things like domestic violence seriously, even though we were saying we're spending lots of your money, lots of Australian taxpayers' money, and we were, but we didn't have the validity when we had all these other things that were going around and we didn't handle them as well as what we could have. And I think we've got to be big enough to own up to that, and we've got to say that we've got to do those things better and understand that. And that upset a lot of women. And I got around even in my own electorate where I had women tell me they thought we'd done a good job as a government, but we didn't get them. And that's something that we've got to face up to when they're half the population.
Yeah, but the thing about women is they don't only care about women's issues, so-called women's issues. They care about lots of things, right? Because we're, I am one, full humans that care about lots of issues. And one of the issues that women clearly were voting on is also climate change. The clear message from voters in seats was that fell to independents, for instance, is that they wanted action on climate change. How are you demonstrating that you've heard that message?
Well, we do too, and that's why we signed up to net zero by 2050, and we've said that we want to get there with technology, and we think technology will get there.
But you need to get there in the interim, and you didn't vote for the government's 43% reduction.
Well, we're not against the target. We're against the legislation in legislate. We've never had to legislate a target before, whether it be Kyoto or Paris.
But it does send a message, doesn't it, David Littleproud, to the market about what you want to do.
Symbolism.
No, a message about where they should be investing, not just symbolism for action.
You don't need, and that legislation proved you don't need to legislate a target to give that investment confidence. That's around the governments, these mechanisms that the governments are putting in place, the actual real mechanics of how your energy market operates. And this is what this government is working a lot on, symbolism, not about practical reality. Now, we're all for reducing emissions, and we want to do that with technology. We think the smarts of technology will be able to do that. And we think, quite rightly, that renewables will play a significant role in that. But they have a capacity that they have limitations in. And that's what Chris Bowen's sort of giving this perception that renewables will take it all over. They won't. They can only do so much. Then there's this thing called firming. And I think that's really what the discussion is about now, is around firming. Is that gas with carbon capture storage, or coal with carbon capture storage? Is that hydrogen, or is that small-scale modular nuclear, which is what the Nationals believe we should just run the ruler over? That's a long way down the track, but we should look at these options and have a mature conversation. That's what the Nationals have tried to lead. We were the first ones to do that, and I wrote to the Prime Minister asking for a National Energy Summit in a bipartisan way. He rejected that, which is disappointing. But I want to still have that conversation. I think we want to get back to first principles. If we reduce emissions, do it with reliable, affordable energy that reduces emissions, then that's common sense.
Let me ask a question on an issue that I think is quite significant. Did you know Scott Morrison had himself sworn in as Minister for Resources during the pandemic? A few other swearing-ins that we didn't know about too. Did you know?
No.
Do you think odd? I mean, what's your analysis of what's now that it's been revealed? What was happening?
Well, that's pretty ordinary. As far as I'm concerned, if you have a cabinet government, you trust your cabinet. You've created that environment in the cabinet room to have those discussions. If you don't think that a minister is suitable to do that, then that's a discussion with the minister to probably ask him or her.
And it was Keith Pitt, who's a Nationals minister. Did he know? Was there a discussion with the Nationals?
Well, not that I understand. From what I've seen reported this morning, Keith wasn't made aware of that, nor was Barnaby Joyce. So, these are the decisions of Scott Morrison. I don't agree with them, and I'm prepared to say that openly and honestly.
What was happening, though, and why wasn't the public told?
Well, those are questions for Scott Morrison to articulate. Obviously,
do you think he needs to answer those questions?
Well, I'm not sure of the technicality around the constitutional arrangements there and around the cabinet and what is required and how that operates. So I'm not even aware of the mechanics of how it can actually take place. So that was obviously news to me as well.
Does it seem tricky to you?
Well, it's disappointing. If you want to have a government that you need to trust, you've got to trust one another and you've got to create that environment for that trust to be aired in a forum such as the cabinet room, to work through issues and get to a consensus.
David Littleproud, I have so many other questions, so I'll have to invite you on again. Thanks for coming on.
Happy to. Thanks for having me.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.